Leadership isn't about titles. It's about vision, resilience, and growth. I'm Erica Butler, and on the Go Hire show, we talk about the tools and strategies that help you lead with impact, grow your business, and build teams that thrive. From real estate to cultural agility, from managing diverse teams to creating work-life harmony, Go Hire helps you rise above challenges and step into your next level. Catch Go Hire every week on Now Media Television. We're streaming on Roku, Apple TV, Sirius XM, iHeartRadio, and all other major platforms. Let's go hire together. Welcome back to Go Hire with Erica Butler. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Even if you're on the move, you can catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. So I'm back with Karen Wilson. She's a principal and executive coach at Legacy Leadership Coaching. We're talking about just hidden places where leaders either are strengthening a business or they're actually slowly weakening it. She's been around the block in very big companies, as we just talked about, and also in her own practice coaching small and mid-sized business leaders. So let's talk more about this, Karen. Where I want to start, in your experience, what are the early warning signs that leadership misalignment is starting to affect the culture and performance of an organization?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that, you start to see things like turnover of employees. You start to hear disgruntled colleagues. You start to see if it's a leader, a particular leader, you might see people leaving their part of the organization and not a lot of talent choosing to come into that part of the organization. You obviously would see performance results that just maybe don't feel optimal. There could be any number of reasons that these things happen, and it may not be ill-intended, and it might even be, just small tweaks that need to be managed in order to bring those things forward.
Okay, awesome. Yes, those are a lot of red flags you listed to kind of pick your head up and notice and look at. So this next part is all about communication. We all know how imperative this is and how it gets missed so many times, to your last point about the survey. So when executives believe they are communicating clearly, but teams are still disconnected, where do you find that breakdown normally happens?
I have found that I think leaders often do think that they are communicating really crisply and clearly to the organization. What happens often is that they don't communicate enough. So if it's a change in the organization, whether it's a process change or transformation type program that might be going on, or even something really more basic than that, if they fail to communicate regularly and over communicate on a topic, then it'll lose, right? I also find that people process information differently. So if you're only, verbally communicating to people in person, and you're not doing it through other mechanisms such as written communications or training programs or whatever those things might be, sometimes you're going to lose part of the audience because they process information in a different way. So it's important for leaders to be very deliberate about how they're communicating, and don't make assumptions. I think a good change plan can also help ensure that, the people are catching on and they're moving in the right direction, and you can know where the blocks are that you need to address and deal with. So that's always a good plan as well. I like to put HR in that shop too, to, help be part of the solution there, because they, HR leaders tend to be very centric to the employee experience, and really can help people, understand what's going on if a leader can't get to that level of detail.
Yeah. Oh, those are really good examples. I think it's really easy to do as a leader. You probably felt this too, because you're in it every day. You know what's happening. And then you're like, oh, I told them. But a lot of times they're like, wait, what? So also just to go off that, like in HR, we talk about feedback loops a lot, right? We did this a lot at Thermo Fisher focus groups. They always do the survey and tie it back to even leadership performance. How is the team doing? And I think I love that Thermo Fisher did that because, I mean, you always did this, the active listening. If you don't have these checkpoints to make sure the message was received, how will you really know? So if companies aren't doing that, very quick win you can put in place now, checkpoints, focus groups. It's not a huge commitment of time, but it is super impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. And it is just about, as you said, a leader has maybe sat with a change for months, potentially, before it's rolled out to their organization. And so, you know, then they wonder why it is that the organization isn't adopting it as quickly as they'd like. And so just that, you know, that self-awareness of, okay, I've been living with this for a long time, but this is new to these people, I think can help. And then, you know, you put in the tools, you know, through managers, through other resources in the organization to ensure that, you know, it's being heard both upwards as well as downwards.
Awesome. I agree with you. Of course. I just think this is one of the biggest focuses leaders need to hear because it's so common and it doesn't have to be this way. So moving on here. Yeah. If you help leaders strengthen organizations' performance through people at strategy, you did a lot of strategy work and actual execution and leading that. So where do those three areas most often fall out of sync, would you say, for organizations?
Yeah, it's... It depends is of course the answer. And in a lot of cases, it might be all of the areas, right? It's not necessarily a single one. I think it's important. It's clearly important for leadership to define a strategy. That is one of the core tenets of a leader, is to define, you know, where we're going. Not necessarily how we're getting there, but where we're going and who's responsible for what actions within that. I think the strategy one has to be really clear. I do think that from a resourcing perspective, oftentimes we draw on the same resources multiple times. And so that tends to be an area to watch out. You can't move 3 different strategic items forward all using the same resource, right? You've got to be able to either pace it out in a way that that resource can do all of it, or you have to find other resources to help move it. So prioritization.
When you say resource, are you talking people or are you talking something else? Just so I understand that part.
Yeah. I mean, it might be people. It might be
budget.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All of that. So yeah. So you have to make sure it's, you know, prioritized and paced out. And I think where we tend to fall down on whether it's the strategy, the execution side of it, is really on the prioritization. You know, we let a lot of other things get in the way that aren't true priorities. And so I don't think you can underscore enough the importance of, you know, what are the true priorities and how are we going, who are we going to put on them? What resources, financial or otherwise, are we going to put on them? And what does that mean for everything else? And how do you empower the teams, you know, communicate to the teams, empower the teams that they know that. And we've been through a number of exercises with resource constraints, right? And the questions are, well, what are we going to do? And I think the first thing, you know, we would, in my later part of my career, this wasn't so evident in the earlier part of my career, but in the later part of my career, the questions were, well, what are the priorities? Right? We only have a certain number of resources. So what are the priorities? So you just, you know, if you come back to that, provided you have the right strategy, then you can help to align the execution to deliver the results that you're looking for.
You know, the cool thing is, I think Thermo Fisher is truly one of the best companies out there at executing towards priorities. I mean, you know, they've been growing wildly since I joined years ago. Can you tell me like exactly how you did this? Like, did you guys meet, like leadership team meet every week? These are the top three. Like, can you walk me through it, how you did that at that.
Yeah, I was part of, different parts of the organization did it differently. And so I don't think there's one way to do it, but I've seen the priorities set at the beginning of the year. These are the five. And it is
goal setting, the goal
in
setting.
Every communication. It is in, every goal. It's tied, the goals of the organization and the employees in the organization are tied to those five or six the things.
Reviews, through their reviews, even that.
Yeah, like the goals exactly. The quarterly business reviews or the town halls, it's those things are flashed up and talked to, and here's where we stand on those and how we're progressing against those. So it's real clear alignment that anything has to do with those five things or whatever it might be, whatever number, then those are the priorities. I've seen leadership teams get together and literally list on a page, a wall, 100 items that they've got going on and duke it out over 2 days to figure out which are the top five priorities. We've seen tools like the X Matrix to help as part of the continuous improvement process to help create visual prioritization. And we've had, resources within the continuous improvement function that would push back and say, listen, here's who we've lined up for these five priorities. And you can't, these IT people can't do all this at the same time. So we've got to start phasing
the work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, putting it on a wall, the timing and the priorities and the steps to execute on something. So there's any number of ways to do it. I don't think one necessarily is better than the others. Maybe it's situational. But the important thing is to ensure that prioritization conversation is there. When business is good and there's money flowing, it's a little less critical. But when business gets tight and things are uncertain, then that's when that prioritization becomes a bigger priority in and of itself.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, my experience, and even I'm always actively coached as well. And I'm part of this like larger entrepreneur organization I think I told you about and the audience. Yeah. And why I bring that up is a lot of times, like step one is leadership alignment and having tough conversations as a leadership team. Because if you're not that united front, the rest isn't going to follow. So can you talk a little bit about that? The cost of business when leadership teams avoid difficult conversations in the name of keeping peace, and then it literally trickles down. So what have you seen in that example?
Yeah. Great question. It's, it doesn't really matter the objective for keeping peace or well-intentioned. Most of this is well-intentioned, right? But it is it can be so damaging to the organization. People need feedback. People need to understand the parameters. People need to know when there's issues that with maybe the way they're executing on something. People need to understand how wide the guardrails are in terms of the work that they need to get done. Do they have a lot of room to move, or is it very narrow? And not everybody wants to hear it. Clearly not everybody is able to say it in an effective way, but it is it is a skill. It's a bit of an art as well, but it is so important. And, the number of times I heard over my career, people that I've given feedback to, whether they were in my function or not, just in my role as a leader, that they would say, nobody ever told me that. I'd never heard that. And if only somebody had told me, I wouldn't have wasted the last 2 years or whatever. So, I think, again, leaders can be well-intentioned, managers as well, right? This is something that is agnostic to where you sit in the organization. But it's important to be able to deliver bad news, difficult messages. We call them the courageous conversations. It's important to be able to have those courageous conversations, because that's where you see really the pivot. And I've said to people throughout my career, you will learn so much more as a leader and a manager by working with your difficult, the employee that needs coaching, needs performance management.
Yeah. Difficult conversations. Yeah.
You will learn so much more. You will have an exponential impact on that individual versus your best employee that is going to just fly no matter what. So, you know, focus on figuring out how to have those courageous conversations at all levels and be honest, you know, whether or not you're actually having that conversation or you just think you're having that conversation or you just think you said that.
You know, what's incredible to me, the magic of all that is those are the relationships typically that go super deep and that trust is there forever because you were so honest and you took because the personal risk. Incredible things happen on the other side of that.
Yeah. And then don't hang them out to dry, right? Help them, you know, be a partner to their development, right? It's not about hanging them out to dry and letting them flounder from there.
It comes from a good place because you really care. You're willing to have that, you know?
Yeah. And not everybody's going to make it, right? I mean, that's, I think that's also an important aspect. You know, sometimes the difficult conversation is this isn't working, you know, despite your best efforts, you haven't been able to really step into the role. And so it's going to turn into a different conversation, but they're owed that conversation just as much. So
yeah,
I think it's important.
When I've seen that on a leadership team, those are the best ones I've worked with, the ones that really don't hold back and they say, well, this is a joke, but you have something in your teeth, like a friend that will do that. That's a friend you want to keep around.
Right. Exactly.
No, but when we come back, I want to talk more about the coaching side of things in more depth, your work on that and what today's current is out there for emerging C-suite leaders and what they should be focused on and your recommendations. So we'll start with that in a moment. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more stories, lessons, and practical tools to help you rise in leadership, business, and life. This is Go Higher on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Erica Butler, and you're watching Go Higher on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation that helps you lead, live, and love with purpose.
Welcome back to Go Higher. I'm your host, Erica Butler, CEO of Higher International Human Resources. Today, I'm with an incredible guest, a mentor, someone I've looked up to for over a decade, Karen Wilson. So our topic this segment is we want to explore more about executive coaching. What does that really mean in today's business? A lot of people talk about this, but what does it look like when it's done well, when it's not done well? And it's actually not just this luxury thing. It's a really strategic investment leaders can make in their own growth, organizational strength, and the long-term performance. So let's dive in because Karen runs a business that is executive coaching business, and she is a certified executive coach. And we are very fortunate to hear from her about this. So Karen, when senior leaders come to you for coaching, and I know it's organizations that hire you, almost always is the case, is what I understand, right? So when they come to you and hire you for the executive coaching, what are they usually coming to you for? Let's start with that. Why are the organizations reaching out to you? Let's start there.
Yeah, I usually a couple different things. One is a developmental tool for their leader, something that helps to drive retention and shows the investment in them, that they are part of their, you know, future plans and as leaders in the organization. So that I've seen. I've also seen certainly where, you know, it's an opportunity to give feedback, collect and give feedback to leaders in an effort to just raise overall performance of the leadership team. And I've seen people who are, again, stepping into C-suite roles and looking for ways to sort of pull themselves out of the weeds. And, you know, these are things that I can help with.
Yeah. Awesome. So then going to working with the actual senior leaders, when you start your process with them, what do you find they're usually carrying? And I know it's different for everyone, but what is it that people around them might not fully see that comes out in the coaching conversations?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I think is pretty common is this concept of, you know, did I really deserve this role? This is something common with women, but not just women. You know, am I ready for this? Is this too big of a job for me? And so just helping to give people, or maybe they're not even new in the role, but they are thinking about that next role and feeling overwhelmed by the prospect of that. So part of what I do then is, you know, help them to overcome that imposter syndrome, you know, that can hit all of us at the best of times even, and, you know, work through what does that look like and what are the capabilities that you've got and how do we just help bring those out, right? It's not, coaching isn't really about deficiency. and trying to bring deficiencies up to be, you know, something that's a positive. It's really about how do we drive, you know, that appreciate? How do we appreciate what you're doing? And how do we help you do more of it to be more impactful? Mm. So, you know, there may be, or maybe it's a balance of both, but it's not really about I've got performance issues or I have leadership tendency issues and therefore I need to be better. It's not about being better. It's about how do we make you more effective?
Mm. So, you know, of course we did StrengthFinders together years ago, well, in my one group, and they really focus on the strengths, which like you said, sometimes it can be a balance of what you need mm-hmm. to focus on, but it's interesting. I found that very much too, the confidence piece. And I actually was shocked when I discovered this years ago that most women, almost all, like in the 90 percentile, actually, it's something they struggle with. When you find out that's normal, it doesn't seem so scary when you're like, oh, everybody has this at some point. You know, that's a huge awakening moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. I personally have suffered from it most of my career.
Same. I think just having a coach that believes in you and tells you that truth, it's a game changer. Like that alone is really powerful. And there's so much more than that. But yeah, that's one of my missions on the show, Karen, is this like, don't wait, do it scared. Like so much as possible on the other side of that. Don't let your own fear and your confidence hold you back from the amazing impact you can make. So moving on, I know you know that, but just... Yeah. And I know we're aligned in that too. So what shifts when an executive stops focusing only on like this output and like the gaps, right? The deficiencies they see and starts paying closer attention to their leadership styles and maybe their strengths and how they can affect the organization in a greater way.
Yeah. I think, you know, what I've seen is they have fun doing it because a lot of times there's things that are weighing them down in their job, whether it's, you know, they happen to be the middle of the funnel. And so they're clogging all of the work coming in or going out, whether or not, you know, they're not leveraging their team in the right way. They're doing work on behalf of their teams. You know, once they sort of start figuring out that they can multiply their impact by modifying their approach and by, you know, listening to some of the feedback, whether it's senior leader feedback, you know, we do the 360s, right? So they get it from their team, they get it from their peers, their customers. Amazing. Yeah, they're the senior leaders. And, you know, as you sort of just pull that all out, you chew on that a little bit, you think about which levers do I want to pull, they start to have fun because they start to see the impact of those changes and both on their teams as well as on themselves, you know, whether it's their time. I had two people at my, one of my recent engagements that both felt like their calendars were so full. They had no time to do their work. And, you know, these were
little and develop people, right?
Right. These were people reporting into the C-suite. And it really didn't take a lot to help them see how, you know, engaging their teams differently would help them. And it was like night and day. And just seeing them then talk about the possibilities as opposed to what can't happen, you know, the possibilities of what else they could engage in and the strategic impact of their function and how they can help drive that now because they're pulling themselves out of the weeds a lot more. That, you know, that was rewarding for me, but really rewarding for them and for their organizations.
Well, such an awesome example. And I think those growing in their promotions, sometimes you forget to get out of the weeds because you're used to the weeds. A little bit to make that jump. Yeah, that's a great example. So as we said, you work with current and emerging C-suite leaders. Even though you came from Fortune 100, I'm sure you do that, but you focus now on small to mid-sized companies. Yep. And what capabilities do leaders need today to develop before they do step into the next level? Like ones that want to keep growing, what should they be focused on?
Yeah, I think I see a lot of the in the weeds. And so again, being able to pull up and understand the impact of my actions on the broader organization and where my function should be going, you know, what's the strategic impact that my function can have on the results of the organization, and how do I communicate that to the team? You know, it's making that transition. And, you know, that again, starts with little changes. It starts with little steps and measures. And then it becomes, you know, hopefully over time, it becomes a little more inherent in how someone leads. So that would be one. I think the ability to maybe right along with that is the ability to delegate the work. You know, we always think of delegation as just a, you know, basic management 101 sort of principle. And that, you know, it's something that, you know, our mid managers deal with all the time, but as leaders, maybe we don't think about it that way. But there's, you know, when you think about delegation, and again, maybe this gets back to more of the empowerment aspect of it, as opposed to the delegation, because it's not just about ensuring that the members of the team below you, that you're developing them by allowing them to do the work, but it's also allowing them to figure out how to do the work. And, you know, again, this is where I would say the guardrails probably need to be wider. And, you know, a lot of senior leaders that I've come across in my many years, some often felt that they knew the best way, maybe not the only way, but the best way. And, you know, they didn't give even, you know, vice presidents or, you know, even higher necessarily the room to make those decisions. I've had some great leaders who did do that. And, you know, when you saw that and people became accountable for their decisions and accountable for moving things forward, and then they understood their impact, and then they, you know, that just begats
momentum.
Yeah. Momentum. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Wow. And so it's helping leaders to understand that. And some of those are difficult messages to hear. But that's the benefit of, you know, going through the process. Is that's part of my job, is to ensure that even the difficult message gets delivered, and, you know, chewed on and decided upon, you know, what are we going to do with it? And I'm here to help.
And it allows the leaders to grow as well, because they have space now for their own growth, you know, and their own development, because they weren't giving themselves space for that before, which. So in this, it all, it's like so many positive spillovers. But what really stands out to me here, what you've talked about, it's not necessarily about focusing on the gaps or adding new skills necessarily, though that's a piece. It's about the expanding capacity and looking at the whole picture of your schedule, of how you're leveraging your team and lifting your team, and really making that the focus is what I heard, a key takeaway. So this is amazing, Karen. The next segment, I want to talk about your organization. I want to close with legacy, which is part of the name of your organization, and just what that means to you, and how we can live lives of legacy and leave a meaningful legacy. So we'll pick up on that next. Thank you.
Okay, great.
We'll be right back with more stories, lessons, and practical tools to help you rise in leadership, business, and life. This is Go Higher on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Erica Butler, and you're watching Go Higher on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation that helps you lead, live, and love with purpose.
Welcome back to Go Higher. I'm Erica Butler. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. You can download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. If you're on the move, you can still catch us. So we have a podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. So I'm here with our last segment with Karen Wilson. And in this final part, we're going to really pull it all together. And we're going to talk about her beautiful organization. And we're going to talk about legacy. I think leadership, it's such a beautiful, it's such an honor to be a leader, because you're really impacting lives, and your decisions matter, and the way you hold yourself and treat people and make them feel, it matters. And it really is part of your legacy. So let's talk about this, Karen. Tell me a little more about your organization and why you named it the name you did, and what does legacy leadership coaching mean to you?
Yeah, thank you. So I retired from Thermo Fisher back in 2023, had a wonderful career there, loved what I did. But needed something to keep me going. I'm still young enough that I wanted to have an impact. I wanted to be able to give back on my many years of blessing. So ultimately through a process, I got to executive coaching. I went through the certification process and, you know, have a lot of great contacts within the business community that's created some opportunity for me to do this work. And I'm having a blast with it. I call it, legacy leadership coaching, as you said, and the legacy really is the key point there. And for me, as I was thinking about different names for the company, it was about the mark that you make as a leader, that really matters. I feel like I've been blessed to have a wonderful leadership career in my endeavors, mostly at Thermo Fisher Scientific, and that I, you know, I like to think, and I've, you know, heard wonderful feedback from yourself and others that, you know, that I made a mark. I, you know, the work that I did as a leader mattered to people. And so that sort of resonated with me and really got me to that legacy leadership coaching. So I spend my time, you know, really on the leadership topics and leadership effectiveness and, you know, alignment within the organization. And I'm having a blast working with people.
You know, that just triggered a memory and I'm going to share it. I don't even know if you'll remember this, but, you know, when we worked together, I was at Thermo Fisher about 6 years. It was also a really rewarding, wonderful experience. Learned a lot from you and other great leaders. And I went for this job that I was really excited about, and it was down to me and one more candidate, and I just really wanted it, and it was a promotion. It was maybe a stretch, but I just was so excited, and I felt like I would work hard enough and figure it out, and I didn't get it, and you sent me an email, and it meant more than I can express that you took the time to do that, and you said, I'm really proud of you for going for it, and that meant so much to me. It's these moments that impact people. Lives, because I was disappointed, and to have that coming from senior HRVP at Thermo Fisher, that it just meant so much to me. So I learned that from you, and you just want to pass it on and pass that love and encouragement and support. Like, that's a legacy. That's a real life example of impact, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
It doesn't mean that much. I don't think I ever told you that.
Yeah. So, thank you. Wow. Yeah.
Thank you. You didn't have to do that. You probably didn't have time to do that, but you still did. And you had hundreds of people on your team. I'm pretty certain at that point. It's pretty amazing, I think. But moving on here, so I can talk about the rest of the time. When leaders are moving fast and carrying major responsibilities, you know how fast it goes at Thermo Fisher. Just, that's what is the pace is crazy.
But company. Yeah,
right. It's no joke. How can they stay focused on like long-term influence instead of these just this everything crossing your desk, the short term, you can get lost in those tasks. So how do they focus, pick their head up and focus on long-term influence?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously important as leaders to do that, right? To be able to balance both. And that's part of that conversation that we had in the last segment about having to pick your head out of the weeds, look left and right, see what the impacts are of what you're doing. And, you know, what is the direction your organization or your function or your business should be taking? And it is one of the responsibilities as a leader and prioritization. You know, again, we talked about that in a prior segment as well. Making sure that, yeah, there might be some short-term things that happen, but you can't ruin your long-term prospects by short-term decision-making. And I respect, you know, that's one thing I respect heavily about Mark Casper, who leads Thermo Fisher Scientific, is at any point where we were going through an exercise of downsizing, right-sizing, whatever you want to call it, you know, reductions in force, et cetera, he always said, don't break the business. You know, we just have to prioritize the work we're going to do. And we have to ensure that we're investing in the right places, and we have to make the right tough decisions, but don't break, you know, don't break where we're going. So it's important to have that long-term view. And it's just a, you know, it's a necessity to balance it. And again, what is the biggest priority? If a lot of these short-term things that are coming across one's desk don't have anything to do with those five strategic imperatives, or goals of the organization, then guess what? Maybe they don't need to happen. Or maybe they sit on the shelf until it's an easier time. Or maybe that's something that can be delegated to somebody else. If there is value to it, it's just not the most immediate value for the attention of the leader. So I think there's a number of things to do with it. Like anything, awareness is, the first step. Just be aware of what are the things that are getting in the way? What are the barriers to your success or to your effectiveness? And then figure out how to deal with it. And there are always going to be people around you in the organization that can help you with that, can brainstorm what that means, might be able to step back and, give you a 30,000 foot view or at least an arm's length view that's going to be helpful to you. So don't carry those burdens by yourself. That's why you've got peers and bosses and other resources, mentors and, others in the organization and outside that can help.
One of the themes you kept coming back to is, development, right? Developing ourselves, developing others, and prioritizing it, helping your schedule delegate so you can prioritize it as well. Prioritize coaching. Yeah. It's a good investment. One of my favorite books is actually a financial book, but the biggest theme is invest in you, whether it's money or time, that will never come back void. And you putting time into yourself, your own development, it's going to spill over and it's going to give a legacy for you because you're helping people around you. It's going to spill over and you're going to help others do the same thing. So I just, the theme I'm getting from you, and it's worth it to spend time on our development, invest in a coach, and it matters. It impacts your life and your legacy.
Yeah. And I have seen that happen where, again, some of the learnings that they're having and the self, introspection that they're having, they then take that, they see some of those same things in their teams. And now they're equipped because of the work we've done. They feel more equipped perhaps to help guide their team members to overcome those same challenges. So, it's sort of, again, paying it forward, maybe.
Yeah. Well, the best leaders I've seen do act as a mentor they act as a constant developer, pouring into their team, lifting them, giving them that feedback. And that's legacy to me as well. That's part of it. So what does a leader leave behind, though, when they truly lead with consistency, alignment and intention and, in their mission? What do they leave behind, would you say?
I think they leave a better organization, a more effective organization, a healthy organization, a healthy group of people that, are ready to take things on, that maybe feel empowered, maybe feel challenged. They know what good looks like. They know what bad looks like. So they get away from bad or they try to help change bad. So I feel like it raises the health of the organization in general. There's a cultural impact that we talked about. And maybe it again, in that spirit of pay it forward, it creates other leaders who are going to behave in the same way. And, we all win by that, right? We all win by that. Raises the water level for everybody.
Yeah. That's a place I want to be part of, or a team I want to be part of. I think most people feel that way.
Yeah.
Cool. Absolutely. So we have one more question, which is crazy. We're already at this point. If someone's watching today and they know they're capable of more, but they're unsure how to rise into that next level, whether confidence, fear, whatever it is, what would you want them to remember from this conversation? Or what's a takeaway or two you want to send to them?
Yeah. My advice would be, take a risk. Nothing happens without risk.
True.
Be self-aware. Right. Be open to asking questions and receiving critical feedback. Hopefully it'll be delivered in a way that's effective. But even if it's not, chew on it for a little bit, because that's feedback is a gift, as we always say. But I think it's take that risk. Growth isn't easy, and it doesn't come without some level of risk. And chances are, you will overcome it tenfold, within a short period of time versus what you think it'll take. But there's no reason why you shouldn't go for it. Like you, in the example you gave about the job that you didn't get, but what you learned by going for it, and sort of taking that on was, I'm sure, also invaluable. So,
yeah. And I know about another part of the business too, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Too. There's so many wins of going for it and putting your name in the hat of something you want. This has been so powerful. I loved the conversation with you, Karen, as always. Just one more time, where can people find you and your coaching organization?
Yeah. You can get to me through LinkedIn. You can get to me on the legacyleadershipcoach.com. My cell phone might be up as well. 724-413-9564. Happy to engage and would love to help if I can be of help.
Awesome. That's a wrap. This is Go Higher with Erica Butler and our guest, Karen Wilson, today. Thank you for watching and let's go higher together. Have an awesome day.